John Cena, The Rock, ain't no rapper. And clearly, neither are you. But open your ears and shut your mouth and listen to this very special gift from the people's champion to you. The Rock is back to scratch a major itch. So enjoy your fruity pebbles, you yabba dabba bitch. The Rock, he'll address you like a man. In these eyes you'll be looking, and in that exact moment, you will smell what The Rock is cooking.
Everybody, episode 31 of the Geek Generation. I'm here again with Brian Lipsitz. How you doing, Brian?
Good. How are you?
I am doing great. We have a lot of stuff to go over today. First of all, I want to say happy birthday to my friend Matt, whose birthday is tomorrow, which might be today if he's listening today, or a day after if he listens later on. But Monday, at least, is his birthday, so happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday.
Also, I went back to the neurologist last Monday, as I mentioned last week that I would be doing. So it looks like I am the newest member of America the Medicated.
Uh-oh.
It's nothing major. Apparently, the solution that she proposed was I could either go back for more physical therapy, which didn't really seem to be doing anything, or I could go on an antidepressant, which would kind of take some of the sensitivity away from my overfiring neurons and like possibly bring me down because I'm in like a constant state of anxiety and like high whatever it is that's getting me charged up, and that's kind of causing overstimulation maybe. And I don't know what that is. Maybe that's just so much time at the computer that's making me mental. but I've only been on it for a week right now, and it's really not supposed to show any major changes until, like, I think 3 or 4 weeks in. But last week I already had, like, the best week I've had in a long time as far as my mental health is going. So, yeah.
Well, that's good.
So that seems to be working out. Yeah, I'm hoping that it keeps going the way it's going and even gets better. The only thing I'm still really getting is, like, the blurred vision here and there. Aside from that, like, no more nausea, no more headaches. It's been awesome so far.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you. Also, I had a weird thing go on the other night where I had a wrestling show on Friday night. I had a wrestling show. And I came home, and I have a Cafe Press store where I sell a bunch of t-shirts and everything. And Cafe Press emails me whenever I make a new sale. So I had an email. Sales have been fairly slow lately based on the economy and stuff. There's always like a Christmas rush and then it kind of slows down. But I usually make like $20 or $30 a month, which is nice. But I checked the email that I had and it said like three times whatever this kind of shirt is and dude in Australia, da 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 da. And then I closed it and then did like a double take almost in my head and said, wait a minute. Did that say three or... I opened it up again. It said 300. So some guy in Australia bought 300 shirts in one shot from my store. All the same shirt.
Wow. Okay, then.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked by that. And it's like a Nintendo parody shirt. So it has like the Nintendo logo almost. But inside of it, it says gamer instead of Nintendo. Pretty cool. Basic. But the oddest coincidence of the whole thing is that it was the same exact shirt I had worn to the wrestling show that night.
That is funny.
It's just a really odd, weird coincidence. I don't know.
Yeah, that's craziness. What is he going to do with all these shirts? Is he going to, like, that's weird. I don't care.
I would assume he's got some sort of way to sell them in a store or something like that. I would assume.
Yeah.
It was really weird, but that was pretty cool. So that was some money in my pocket. Also, the other night, I was at a Stop and Shop, and there's all this talk about Netflix going towards the streaming and getting away from the disc base because Blockbuster went bankrupt and people don't want the discs anymore. They just want to push a button and watch it. But if you go to Stop and Shop on any weekend night, there is a solid line at the Redbox. Have you noticed this at all?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. People keep saying that everyone wants on-demand, they want digital, they want streaming, and yet solid line at the Redbox because the prices are good and people can get it right away when it might not be available in some other form. And it's probably cheaper than going on like on-demand and renting it that way, because Redbox is like $1 for the night and then you just bring it back the next day.
Yeah, they're like everywhere now too. It's like before they were like very not everywhere. Now they're just like everywhere you go, like, you know, anywhere, like any like convenience stores and like grocery stores, everywhere now. It seems to be I think everyone's going Redbox.
Yeah, it seems to be really popular. So whoever said disc-based rental is dead is very misinformed, I believe. Aside from that, it's time for Geek Outs and Freak Outs. So what are you geeking out over this week, Brian?
Yay!
I liked our intro. I was geeking out over that. WrestleMania time is here, and I'm still... Raw was, again, on Monday. I don't know if you saw it. It was great. They're really building up.
I've watched most of it.
I think they're doing a great job of... I think everyone's going to want to see WrestleMania just for the confrontation between Rock and Cena. And it's crazy how many people are coming out of the woodwork who haven't watched wrestling in years who all of a sudden are like, I want to watch WrestleMania. Like, just between my friends, like, I've had friends that are just, like, never been interested in the longest time. And now it's like, with Austin, everyone was watching. The ratings are crazy. The Austin segment on Monday pulled, like, a 4.5 quarter-hour rating, which is, like, the highest quarter-hour they've had in a long, long, long time. So, like, it's weird. It's good and bad, because it's kind of sad that all these younger guys obviously aren't, you know, ready yet to draw the ratings, and then they bring in like an old not an old guy, but like someone from the past, and you know, they pop the ratings huge because all the casual fans, you know, come back. So I don't know, it's good and bad, but I'm excited for WrestleMania, so I guess that's what matters.
Well, yeah, you're right. That is kind of the state of the WWE right now, where their whole youth movement has kind of almost, I don't know, killed themselves. They just put their foot right in their mouth, and it's just not working if they need to bring in all these bigger names from the past, like you said.
I mean, I've never seen so many people from the past come back at once. I mean, pretty much all WrestleMania is built around is Austin, Rock, Triple H, Undertaker. You know, they're just, it's pretty much all the guys from the Attitude Era, and it's just like, and meanwhile, we've got like, the other guys in the background. So, I mean, I guess their plan is hopefully for people to watch WrestleMania and then stay with it and then get into the young guys. But, I mean, who knows if that's going to be the case or not. So, I don't know. It's good and bad. So,
well, yeah, the best thing they got going for them right now is clearly that Rock is back.
Yeah, yeah. And the whole Miz and Cena and Rock interaction stuff going on. So, yeah. I mean, right. Worst case scenario, it's going to give Miz a rub, even though he doesn't really need it, but it's going to, because he's in there with Cena and Rock, so that's the worst case scenario. So, I had another geek out. What was my other geek out? Oh, yeah, Super 8 trailer. Awesome. Awesomeness.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cannot wait. June's going to be a crazy month for movies, because I have to see that, I have to see X-Men, and I have to see Green Lantern, so it's like three movies in June. Which is a lot for me to see in 1 month. So,
I thought the thing with the Super 8 trailer was really cool too. That they almost hit. They hid that website URL inside of the trailer.
Yeah, which I honestly didn't notice until I saw it on our site and I watched it. I'm like, oh, okay then. I didn't read it anywhere else. So I didn't see it. So, but then I'm like, oh, cool. That's awesome. So yeah.
It's pretty crazy, and it's literally one frame. Like, I went into the trailer and pulled that frame out, and it was not easy to isolate.
Yeah. So, no, that's That was cool. I'm excited about that. I think, is that all for my, I think cool. That might be all for my geek outs.
Okay. Well, I have two, one of which I know you talked about a little bit on your show.
Yep.
The first one is, something called Tinted Sheen. Have you heard of this?
No.
Tinted Sheen, for those of you that are sick of Charlie Sheen as much as we are, Tinted Sheen is a plugin for Firefox and Chrome browsers, and it allows you to hide any instance of the name Charlie Sheen, any picture that has the word Charlie Sheen in the file name, or the word winning is basically blacked out from anything you're looking at on the internet. I'm using it right now.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Awesome. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was hysterical. The other thing, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes so people can access that if they want to. The other thing I'm geeking out is the way that Smallville played out this week. Or last week.
Last week. Now we have the long wait till the middle of April, which sucks. But, oh my God, what a way to go out for a cliffhanger. Oh my God.
Yeah. The biggest thing for me is that I was really pumped. Obviously, we were both excited when we heard Michael Rosenbaum was coming back.
Yep.
But the really, really cool part is the fact that it's not going to be a clone.
Yep.
Which I'm pumped about.
Yeah, it worked out so perfectly. And like I said on my cast with Todd, the way they did it was so perfectly done, because like I think it was Todd who said, now the clone stuff is okay because I don't care because the real one's coming back. And just the ending with, you know, like I said on the show, I went back and watched it like 5 times back because it was so awesome. Like Lionel just like at his son's grave begging for anyone to somehow bring his son back. And we finally see Darkseid fully formed and, you know, standing before him and just like, oh my God, that's going to be the greatest way to bring him back. Like it makes, because it's just awesome. It's just perfectly done and I can't wait. So
I had a suspicion the whole time in the back of my head that maybe Lex wasn't actually dead, but maybe he is. And then
I think that's what it is. They're actually going to say he did actually die. And then he's going to be, which is cool. I like it better than, you know, my guess. And I think a lot of people's was the clone that became Superboy was going to age into a fully Lex Luthor again, but with all his memories,
right.
Which I like this way better because actually we get the real Lex as opposed to a clone, like you said. So
absolutely, that's huge. I love it.
Yeah, it's just sad because I know now when it comes back, there's only like, I don't know, what, 6 episodes straight, and then it's over forever. And I'm gonna cry.
Tear.
No. Yeah, teardrop.
How about freakouts this week then?
Oh, freakout! I've got a weird freakout. I just am annoyed with NBC, and not NBC in particular, but all like the networks that just. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the Cape, but the way they just they just destroy their fan base. Just mean. They're so mean. Like the Cape finale. Now, you have to watch it streaming online. It's like, wow, that's just fantastic. You know. Then they air the event, which I don't even watch, but they aired it on Monday for two episodes straight, and then directly the next morning, like the event's been canceled. Didn't even give like all these shows. They just run through and then they just cancel them. And like I don't even watch these shows, but I can't. It's like I almost don't even want to get involved in any shows anymore because it's so ridiculous. And I heard Chuck is on the bubble now. It's just like I don't understand why all these unless it's like a surefire sitcom hit. Everything else is sort of just like, you know, you never know when it's going to end. It really sucks. I don't know. It just annoys me now the way everything's going. It just seems like every show is just No Ordinary Family got canceled. It's just like everything is just, you know, down the shitter. Not that I care. I mean, a lot of these shows I don't watch, but I just feel bad with people who actually invest the time to get into these shows and then they get pulled out from under them. I mean, I had it happen with me with Dollhouse, and although at least they got to end that with a second season, but Firefly, a lot of those kind of shows, it's just like Terminator. I mean, a lot of them, it sucks, and they don't give enough time for. They're very, they want to see the bottom line right away, and they don't realize that you have to grow into an audience. Yet certain things like Fringe, I don't know, somehow survive, and I don't get it. So, I don't know. It's just weird.
Yeah, NBC has, NBC's been very harsh, especially in the last few years. I mean, originally when Lost started airing, NBC was on the verge of canceling that even. And look at what happened with Lost. If they just hang with the show for a little longer, it could become something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, I don't get it. So, a lot of things. It seems like, I don't know, ABC, NBC, Fox are definitely the worst of the bunch, but I'm sure, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just, I think it says something. I mean, I'm a wrestling fan, but I think it says something when the highest rated show on Sci-Fi, the Sci-Fi channel right now, is SmackDown, and it's just like, it's not even a science fiction yep. show. It just kind of shows what, like, the genre of science fiction drama shows is at right now. It's just kind of weird. So.
Well, even when ECW was on Sci-Fi, yeah. that was the highest rated
yeah.
show.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, I don't know. It's just weird. I don't get it. You think Sci-Fi would be like, let's get some shows that have been canceled to put on our channel. So, no, I don't know. It's just weird. But yeah, that was my only freak out. It's just watching, like, the television market just, like, I don't know what it is. And it's just like, I don't even feel like getting involved in any shows anymore. That's why I watch Smallville. And, like, I'm like, well, that's not going to cancel because I know it's the last season. And, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know. I haven't gotten really into any many shows this year because I don't know. It's just like, why bother at this point?
No, I know what you mean entirely. I've run into the same thing, and the event was one of those mm-hmm. that I was kind of borderline on, do I actually want to start watching this, yeah. or is this just going to get canceled?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And apparently it did, so yep. I'm glad I didn't waste my time.
Yep.
Any other freakouts?
No, I think that was my one big one.
Okay. I could tell you what mine is, but I'll let you listen to it, and I'm sure you can figure it out on your own.
Okay.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
There ain't no grave yep. can hold my body
what
down.
What were they thinking?
When I hear the trumpet sound, I'm on a
I just, it was funny. Yeah, that's...
Ain't no grave.
I don't... What? This is not a theme for The Undertaker.
I'm hoping that it's just like when he comes out to cut promos now that they're going to use it. I'm hoping that like WrestleMania he comes out to his old theme, but I don't know. I'm worried. It's funny because this is like the first time they've changed it since he was the biker and he came out to whatever, Limp Bizkit or whatever the hell he used to come out to.
Right.
And yeah,
I'm gonna turn
I don't
this crap
get it.
Off
I mean,
too.
I understand, you know, it's they used it in the promos last year with HBK and him, so it makes sense, but... I hope it's just sort of like, kind of like Triple H used to have the King of Kings song when he used to come out to cut promos, and then when mm-hmm. he actually wrestled, he had his normal theme, so I'm hoping it's that, but I don't know. I have a feeling that they may just use it, and I don't like it, because now he's the last outlaw, or the final outlaw, or whatever his new branding is now, so I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
like
know.
They're doing this whole, like, are we going to see Van yeah. Taker again with the cowboy hat, and... Because he's
know.
The last outlaw and coming out to Johnny Cash. I don't know what's going
yeah,
on. I don't
so
want to hear that.
Like...
I just want to hear. I want to hear this. That's all I want to hear. Like, oh, just listen.
It just goes so good with the
yeah.
It just goes so good with the lightning, and yeah, and I don't understand. They gotta have to use that at WrestleMania. I'm sorry, I can't pick.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll do the Johnny Cash intro and then cut right into this. They can do that. They can make a mesh.
Well, they kind of started with... They still had the gong and everything at the beginning of the Johnny Cash
yeah.
song, and then it just became...
It's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The timing was totally off. Like, he's been coming into this for so long that there is a pace at which he hits points in the song, and it's all queued up,
yeah.
and the lighting guys know what to do at the right times in the song, and don't change it! Oh, I love this song.
I'm trying to think. I can't think who has had the longest consecutive theme song, like, not changing.
I don't even know. Even The Rock has this fairly... It's, like, altered.
Yeah. They. I want to say Shawn Michaels. I don't think they ever changed his since the very... Well, in the beginning, he had Sherry singing it, but after that, I don't think they ever changed it.
Yeah. Well, like, aside from DX, he had fairly the same stuff, which was good.
Yeah.
But speaking of The Last Outlaw and the whole new nickname for Undertaker and everything, I was inspired
yes.
for a little bit of a game right now. I know this is the Price is Right theme, but,
Bob Barker, here.
This is way more of a Family Feud type game, but I like the Price is Right theme for game shows way better than the Family Feud one, so I just had to play this one anyway. All right, forget that.
In my head, I'm running down the aisle and screaming and acting like a crazy person. Okay.
The game that I wanted to challenge you with is that The Undertaker has had a ridiculous amount of nicknames over the years.
Oh, God.
And we mentioned The Last Outlaw already, yes. So I'll cross off The Last Outlaw. But that leaves 9 other nicknames.
Seriously?
That some are not as well known as others, but I want to know how many of them you can think of off the top of your head.
All right, the Dead Man.
Okay.
Is that one?
Yep.
Right, the Demon of Death Valley.
Good.
The Devil's Favorite Son.
That's Kane.
Oh, Kane. Yeah. Man, all right, shut up. I'm trying to think of the American Badass.
Good. Yeah.
What the hell else did they call him when he was the biker? The whole thing with his yard. I forget the freaking thing called him, but this is real.
You're forgetting one of the main ones that he's always referred to as.
This is terrible because, like, I know them all, and I just can't think of any because
I know you do. That's why this is funny for me.
This is hilarious. This is terrible. Son of a bitch. Some wrestling fan I am. Crap. I'm drawing blanks because I.
Okay. Okay. I'll give you some of the others.
Yes.
The Phenom.
Oh God! How could I forget? Yeah, that's the main one. Yeah, the Phenom. Yep.
Right. The other one you were trying to think of was Big Evil.
Yeah. That was terrible, yes. That's what I couldn't remember. I blocked that out of my mind, yes.
The Lord of Darkness.
Okay, you're using them, yeah.
Yeah, the other three are ones that are not really used that often, but they were on the list, so I included them. One is the Red Devil.
Mm-hmm.
The Man from the Dark Side. And JR used to always call him the Conscience of the WWE.
Really? I believe it. I just never remembered it. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, that was like the most questionable one, but those were the 10 that I pulled from various sources.
It seems like there's more though. Like they've called.
Sorry.
I was just gonna say it seems like there's more than that. I've seen that. I'm sure there. Like I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. There's other ones that I just can't think of. I just know. I'm drawing a blank.
There probably are, but if we're getting like super obscure.
Yeah. Exactly.
The other thing is he's also had a handful of finishing moves over the years.
Yes.
So I have a list of 5 of those.
I should be
one of which
these.
I guess is kind of questionable as to a finisher, but I considered it one, so I don't know. But what do you think his main finishing moves were?
I know the Tombstone Piledriver is his, is his finisher. He's used the choke slam at times, I think.
That was his one of his originals, yeah.
Yes. He's used the a couple years ago he started using Hell's Gate, which was a submission.
Yep.
That then he started using. He's had the Last Ride, which he occasionally uses, but that was his finisher when he was the biker. And
the last one's the questionable one that I wasn't sure if it qualified as a finisher or not.
I'm trying to think. Let me think.
And I believe it came into play in his American Badass days.
Wow. I'm trying to think. I know, I know he does the walk on the top rope, which is old school, and he does the snake eyes on the turnbuckle, but I can't think of anything. I can't think what would it be. I'm drawing a blank on the last one.
I can tell you that the move is a modified dragon sleeper.
Really? Okay, yeah, I do vaguely remember. I vaguely remember something like that. Yeah, I don't know if they even give it a name, or is it just.
They did. He doesn't really use it anymore, but they used to call it the TCB, which stood for Taking Care of Business.
Wow, I don't even remember that. Like, I remember the move. I don't remember. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I would have never gotten that.
That was kind of a random one.
I was completely disinterested in him during his badass phase. I thought that was terrible.
That was around the time I started watching again. He had come in as the American Badass.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was a good change up because they had really gone all the way with the gimmick, with him like putting people on crosses and shit. But
yep.
You know, and crucifying people. But yeah, I mean, it was just I don't know. I liked it in the beginning, but then towards the end when he cut his hair really short and he looked like it just and his head was like and he had like the headbands and the handkerchiefs on his head. He looked really weird. I just didn't think. I mean, he's still, you know, whatever. But then when he was, I think it was around the time when he turned heel and he started feuding with, like, Hogan and, like, Triple H in like 2002 or 2003. And Brock Lesnar. I was not, you know, a big fan.
Yeah, I agree.
That's cool though. That was good. Those are good brain teasers.
That's the only freak out I have this week. So that's pretty much it.
Sweet.
We'll take a quick break right now, and we'll come back with the listener emails and some news. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Great, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You've spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine.
Hi, this is Charisma Carpenter, and you're listening to The Geek Generation. Yes, you are.
We're back, and during the break, we had to iron out a few technical issues. During the first half of the show, we were on a bit of a delay from each other over the Skype, so some of that might come across as awkward conversation during the first half of the show.
Yes.
This is our explanation for that.
Yes, covering our asses.
Yes, exactly. Last week, I was asking people how they felt about a live streaming show, if that's something they'd want to hear in the future. And I did actually get some feedback on this one, so it must have been a question that people actually cared about for once.
Sweet. Because
the last probably like three or four, I don't even know.
Yeah.
The first one is over the Twitter from @MatthewSBoyd. He says, my idea for the streaming show is you should stream when you have a special guest. That way we can call in. Which isn't a bad idea. The only issue with doing something like that is most of the time my special guests or anyone I'm interviewing, I'm assuming that's what he's referring to. When I have a co-host that is maybe from like internet fame, or if I'm just interviewing a celebrity or something, a lot of the times I do that over Skype, which unfortunately ties up that line, and I could do like a conference call type thing, but then you end up like, then I don't know if I can handle that technically, and I might cut off the wrong person after the phone call. So it's a great idea. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to feasibly do that with the resources I have.
It's a lot of logistics to figure out.
Yeah. The second one comes in from G1. Apparently he's back this week. He says, ha ha ha. Yeah. Sorry. I missed a show. I've been freaking out with moving. It's amazing how heavy 5 bookshelves of comic books can weigh. Holy crap.
That's a lot of comic books.
I know, right? A live streaming show would be neat, but I feel like it could end up being a big money pit for you. Your second listener, Colin, didn't go so well. Maybe you should try that again first. I don't know if people are really motivated for the listener feedback shows as they would be to call in live.
Yeah.
I think a live show would be way more motivation. But I don't know. Maybe I will give that another shot again before I try it. If anything, I think I'm going to return the mixer and one of the mics that I got and get a cheaper mixer and maybe just one more mic. Because I do have one mic that I do like, and the other one was kind of eh. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. He finishes off the email by saying, I'm really psyched that Anne Hathaway is going to be Catwoman. Because apparently he hasn't written in that much time, I guess.
Welcome to last month. Yeah. No, joking.
Although we did just mention the repeat last week.
That's
right.
Yeah.
So, that's really cool. And we're hoping that that is indeed confirmation of that. The next one comes in from superfan Chris Tong out of Wichita, Kansas. He says, hey, Rob, this email is in regards to the previous question you asked about what people think about you taking calls on your shows. I'm totally down for it. I'm not sure as to what quality my mic is, as no one has ever really told me after I've Skyped them. But if you started taking calls, I'd be more than willing to call in on a regular basis, even if it were just to say hi and tell you that you're doing a great job. I'd also love to watch you record via Stick'em or Ustream. Would be great watching the magic known as the Geek Generation go down. Have a good one. I'm assuming by watch, he really wants to like watch us on video doing this.
Like a video, like a live streaming video.
Right. I'm probably not going to go that route, I'll be honest.
I was just going to think the same thing. I'm like, I don't really want to. I'm very too self-cut now.
I don't think anyone's going to be necessarily that enthralled to watching my eyes dart back and forth between my two monitors as I'm reading notes and looking up at the sky and visualizing things and then looking over to my other to make sure it's still recording. I don't think that's super interesting. Plus, whether people realize it or not, right now me and Brian are not even in the same building.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, it could potentially be a disaster like the Charlie Sheen Ustream show, where it was just like, this is not to say that Ustream shows, there's been really good ones, but I don't know about podcasting. It seems kind of, you know.
Yeah, it takes a little bit away from the theater of the mind idea. I like having pure audio right now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe video is something in the future, but I'm just still trying to perfect all this audio stuff. So I think we're going to stay that way. But I mean, Stick'em or Ustream or something like that would definitely be a platform that we would look into for streaming the show in an audio capacity. So that's definitely something that's down the road. The last one comes in from Mike Volpe, who says, sure, I think a live show would be great. Try it out and see how it goes. This could be something that's done once per month as a special. That's not a bad idea either.
Yeah.
So maybe we don't stream every time, but we do have at least like one show a month where we take calls from listeners and get them involved in the show. So I don't know. Maybe that's an option too. We'll see.
Cool.
Yeah. But it's nice to know that there's at least some interest out there for it. And I will continue to look into putting that together for everybody. And now it's time to move right into news. Let's see. Top story this week, despite the fact that I'm sick of talking about this already. Warner Brothers TV has released the following statement saying that Charlie Sheen has been fired from the CBS comedy Two and a Half Men. Quote, after careful consideration, Warner Brothers Television has terminated Charlie Sheen's services on Two and a Half Men effective immediately. Charlie Sheen reacted to the news in his now predictably nutty way with the following statement sent to TMZ, because, you know, they're not important. Quote, this is very good news. They continue to be in breach, like so many whales. It is a big day of gladness at the Sober Valley Lodge, because now I can take all of their bazillions, never have to look at what's-his-cock again, and I never have to put on those silly shirts for as long as this warlock exists in the terrestrial dimension.
He's all there.
Clearly.
I don't want to talk about Charlie Sheen, but I think it's hilarious now that, like, he's suing them for $100 million, CBS. And then I read last night somewhere, because I don't have the filter yet now, that he's doing a stand-up, or he's touring, and sadly our society is really pathetic because his shows sold out in like under 18 minutes, and he's doing like a tour. I'm like, well, I guess that's how he's going to make his money, because you know his PR is probably like, you need to make money somehow now. So
I feel really like pathetic. We need to start taking bets on the under-over for how many shows he's actually going to live through.
Well, I was going to say, even if he's going to even show up, it's sort of like having Scott Hall at an autograph session. You don't really think he's going to show up? No, sure.
Or he's going to go the Axl Rose route and like come out 3 hours late at a show.
Totally loaded, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've definitely put faith in him, so I don't know. Just good. I'm glad he got fired. You know, I feel bad. You know, I hope they continue the show. I don't know how they're going to replace him, or they kill him off, or that would probably be the best. No, I don't know how they're going to handle it, but you know what? Good. He definitely breached his contract by being an asshole, at least. So.
Yeah, I feel really bad for the cast and the crew, and I didn't necessarily post it on the site, but it is on the site's YouTube channel, as well as it was tweeted out and on the Facebook page for those of you that are on one of those. So not everything goes on the site. Sometimes you have to be on those other social media, so do look into doing that. But the clip from Conan's show where John Cryer talks about it, that guy is so much freaking class, really.
Yeah, that was like the best way to handle it, and you know, it shows. I just can't get over Charlie Sheen. I mean, I want to get over it. I just can't. It's everywhere. It's so annoying.
Mm-hmm. There's also a really great article written by Alec Baldwin that was posted on the Huffington Post, and it's basically a plea to Charlie Sheen on how he could fix his career at this point, because he actually is very open about a way that he got screwed over in the past with the I can't remember the first name. When he did The Hunt for Red October, he was playing, is his name John Ryan or Jack Ryan?
Jack Ryan.
When he played Jack Ryan and the sequels to that, he ended up getting totally screwed out of that role for future movies. It wasn't necessarily his choice to walk away, despite what people, I think, thought that up to this point. So he revealed some really detailed information and private information about his career, and uses that as an example for how Charlie can fix this situation and come back onto TV, because he has the gig, as Alec Baldwin says. So to give it up and go nuts like this is just crazy.
Yeah.
Next story, since we really don't want to waste too much time on that. take care of that too before I start reading again. How I Met Your Mother has been renewed through the 2012-2013 season as part of a multi-year broadcast agreement between CBS Entertainment and 20th Century Fox Television. In addition to being a rating success, How I Met Your Mother has also earned critical acclaim and award recognition. Neil Patrick Harris has earned 4 consecutive Emmy Award nominations for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, while the series was nominated for Outstanding Comedy Series in 2009. So we're getting at least 2 more years of How I Met Your Mother.
I like it. I like it. I mean, I hate to say it, I followed the show very closely up until I think this last season. I've only seen a couple episodes because my gym schedule has been all screwed up. I used to actually watch it either and now, like, between DVRing certain shows and Raw and stuff. So it's on a Monday night, which is not a good night for it, but for me. Mm-hmm. But I haven't caught up. But I really do like the show, and I think it's really funny, and it's good. It's got good characters and great chemistry, so yeah. I'm happy for that. So
Neil Patrick Harris continues to be one of the most talented people in Hollywood, period.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And he's fantastic on the show. That was like a whole rebirth for him.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Next story. Before I go on the next story, did you ever watch SNCC back in the day?
I remember parts of it.
That old Nickelodeon lineup?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I remember parts of it, but I don't remember which shows were on it, but I remember watching it, yeah.
I was a big SNCC follower, so this next story is actually awesome for me, even though I don't know if I'll be able to stay up this late to watch what they have planned. But starting this fall, Teen Nick will dust off old favorites like Rugrats, Kenan and Kel, Pete and Pete, The Amanda Show, All That, and Clarissa Explains It All, and air them in a new midnight to 2 a.m. programming block dubbed The 90s Are All That. Keith Dawkins, Senior VP and General Manager of Teen Nick, explained the choice to re-air the older shows, quote, "At the time, we were completely devoted to that audience ages 9, 10, and 11. It was groundbreaking and, for the young viewers, a powerful and pivotal time in their lives. Those kids who are now 22, 23, and 24 want to bring that back."
Fantastic. I loved Clarissa Explains It All.
Yeah, that was my sister's favorite show growing up.
I don't know why. I just loved it. It was hysterical. And then I did watch Kenan and Kel, and then I caught a... Hey Dude wasn't on there. Was that? I don't know.
I don't think so, no. They had... They had
Pete and Pete was on
Pete and
there.
Pete. They had Ren and Stimpy for a little bit.
Yeah.
The two shows that I really want to see back that unfortunately are not on the list are Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes.
And my favorite show from SNCC, which was The Secret Adventures of Alex Mack.
Oh my God, yes.
Because that was my introduction to Larissa Olyanek, who continues to be one of my biggest Hollywood crushes, because I was crushing on her big time when that show was out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that show.
Love that show.
Classic.
Absolutely. I'm sure it doesn't hold up, but it's just the nostalgia.
Oh, I'm sure it doesn't either, but yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. We thought the news was gone, but Marvel vs. Capcom 3 adds Jill Valentine and Shuma Gorath. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 has some DLC coming on March 15th. For 400 Microsoft points or $4.99 on PSN. The DLC pack will feature 2 previously announced characters, Jill Valentine from Capcom's Resident Evil and Shuma Gorath from Marvel's Doctor Strange.
It's interesting, though. Shuma Gorath, I've read comics since 1990. I've never actually seen him in a comic book. Apparently, he's only been in, like, 5 to 10 comics ever, and the fact that he's always been in these video games is hilarious to me, because it's just, well, we just need this weird looking he's not like a well-known character. I mean, I learned about him through these video games. I have no idea, still have yet to see him in a current comic, so.
Well, yeah, a lot of people that play the game probably have no idea who MODOK is, but they just wanted someone really different.
Well, MODOK at least is like somewhat of a character that has had like a longevity. Shuma Gorath is just like randomly like a random character. But yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah.
Yeah, they just want someone with a completely different, odd fighting style. And I always hate those characters.
Yeah. Just to let everyone know, though, if you did get the collector's edition, which I did not, of Marvel vs. Capcom, you have a voucher for these characters, so you don't have to pay anything.
Absolutely. And I actually don't plan on getting this. I'm waiting for a potential sale, because when you think about it, $4.99 for 2 characters.
Yeah, for 2 characters.
Is steep.
I don't know if you saw, they had the costume pack for $5. I thought it was a ripoff, which had like I think 6 new costumes or whatever for like, I'm like, really? For $5? No thanks.
There were some decent costumes, but the only one I really cared about was Iron Man's.
Yeah, and I like the new Steve Rogers one, but yeah, other than that, I was just like, yeah, I don't.
I like how apparently they can, with the additional costumes, Like all the alternate colors they did, they didn't add and they didn't change the models at all. But the character pack seems to make some changes to the models.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They completely. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but still, $4.99 for either the costume pack or the additional characters is very steep. Yeah. When you consider you paid $60 for the game, and I don't know how many characters are in it, and then you do the division there. And it just doesn't match
doesn't add up.
Yeah. So if this was $2, I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
But $4.99, it's not happening.
I mean, just to put it in perspective, like the Raw versus SmackDown game, they have you pay $5, you got like three members of the Nexus, you got like Lex Luger and Bruce, but you got like a lot of characters for like $6. You got like six or seven characters, which is a lot more than, you know, two characters. So,
by the way, I ended up buying that. What is that? I forget what it was called. The whatever pack you pay $10 and you get all the DLC that's coming out for SmackDown vs. Raw.
Oh, yeah.
We had talked about it a while back. I ended up buying that.
Yep.
I haven't put in Raw vs. SmackDown 2011 for months. So
there's three packs out already.
Yeah. I probably have none of them downloaded, but I could probably get them all right now.
You have a ton of stuff to catch up on.
Oh, my God. I have to earn more trophies. let's see. MTV spoke with Kevin Michael Richardson, who voices Cleveland Brown Jr. and other characters on The Cleveland Show. Richardson will be providing the voice for Panthro in the new Thundercats cartoon, and he also names another character in the clip I'll play right now.
Thundercats will be coming out next fall, I believe. And I love Panthro, so to play him is like, I'm very, very happy. Well, the state-of-the-art animation that they have today is just exactly what it is, state-of-the-art. And the cast is fantastic. Will Friedle, you know, as Lionel, and some other people who I want to keep anonymous at the moment. You know, it's just, it's up to the times. It's a lot cooler. It's going to move a little faster. And the special effects and the direction and the acting is just superb. So I must tell you, I love the original. And I don't really like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But from what I've, you know, from what I've worked on already, I'm very impressed.
I like that.
Nice. I like anything with Will Friedle. That's a good choice for me.
Absolutely. And people that aren't familiar with Will Friedle, he not only was the older brother on Boy Meets World, but he voiced Terry McGinnis in Batman Beyond. So he's a solid voice actor.
Oh yeah, big time.
Really good choice for Lionel.
Yeah, perfect choice. I think I wouldn't even thought of that, but that's actually a perfect choice.
Yep. Although I'm gonna try and separate that in my mind from Thundercats and Batman Beyond somehow. Speaking of superhero cartoons, Young Justice has continued to be very strong.
Oh, I love Young Justice. It's every episode gets better and better. And the sheer fact that they have like cameos from so many random characters in DC is really cool. And the animation is really good. Still not, it's not to the Justice League level yet, but it's getting there though. It's good. It's really good.
It is. The one thing that continues to bother me from episode to episode is Miss Martian going, "Hello, Megan." I hate that so much. But one of the things I'm really excited to see, and I hope they do it sometime soon, is I want to see Nightwing interact with the team to some capacity, because Tim Drake is part of Young Justice, but Dick is that weird border or bound, whatever it is, linking factor between the current Robin and Batman. So I want to see Nightwing very soon. I do find That'd it interesting cool. that Aqualad's like team leader and everything.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really enjoy the character. It's cool how they created the character for the show, and then he was brought into the comics directly, like right after it. And he's a very cool character, I think, visually, and it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to make anyone connected to Aquaman cool, so I think they did a good job.
Yeah, so. he has like the cool the powers built and whatnot too.
Yeah,
very cool character.
So
let's see. Recently, at this year's GDC, Naughty Dog revealed the central antagonist in Uncharted 3, Catherine Marlowe. Marlowe is definitely not one you want to get in the way of, or worse, double-cross. To give you some background, Catherine Marlowe is the coldly calculating leader of a secret society whose roots date back over 400 years to the court of Queen Elizabeth I. She has a long-standing rivalry with Nathan Drake over Sir Francis Drake's ring, something they both contend is rightfully theirs and is also the key to an ancient mystery. Marlowe is a much more cerebral enemy than Drake has confronted in the past, using both psychological and physical tactics to get what she is after. She also has the assistance of her team of highly trained agents in the secret society who are far more elusive and dangerous than the hired guns Nathan Drake and Victor Sullivan have faced in the past.
I like it. It's different. I like it. Unexpected. I wasn't expecting something like that.
Yeah, so. They've pretty much just dealt with thugs up to this point.
Yeah, and like, yeah, so it sounds cool. Still can't wait. Between that and Arkham City, which finally has a release date of October 18th.
Yes.
So it's going to be a great fall for video games.
Absolutely. I hope I have time for all of
it. That's the thing, trying to fit them in.
Oh, my God. Lastly, this is a story that's a little heartbreaking. Michael Manna, better known to pro wrestling fans as Stevie Richards, is the first gamer to have pitched a perfect game in MLB 2K11. He uploaded the video proof to YouTube in hopes of claiming the $1 million perfect game contest prize. The problem? He uploaded the video on March 8th. Unlike last year's contest, it didn't go live on release day, but instead will start on April 1st. So it looks like Stevie's out of luck and out of $1 million.
That sucks. I mean, I think that's kind of weird how it was like last year it was, but then all of a sudden they changed it. This year doesn't. I don't know. It seems kind of weird. But yeah, he's a big video game person, tech person. So it's crazy that he did it. But I feel bad for him that like he missed out, but. Yeah, he's dancing Stevie Richards. He's awesome enough. So.
Dancing Stevie Richards.
Sorry, that a flashback to the Blue World Order.
No, it's but, yeah. My first exposure to him was in the Right to Censor, really.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah. You missed out back in the day. He was the man.
That pretty much wraps up our news and the majority of the show. So, if you have a final thought or something you would like to plug, feel free.
The second episode of Graphically Speaking is online, and I would appreciate if you'd listen to it out there and give me some feedback. Still waiting on some feedback, so let me know what you think. If you think it sucks, let me know. If you think it doesn't suck, let me know. at Brian, B-R-Y-N, at thegeekgeneration.com.
Awesome. So. I listened to it. It was a good episode.
Thank you, sir.
Lastly, I want to tell the audience, stop being selfish. Please share the show on Facebook and Twitter. Let's get the word out. I know you're listening. You must be, because you can hear me talking to you right now. So share it with people. Don't hog it to yourself. Other people want to hear it too, or they might. Who knows?
Retweet, and share on Facebook.
Absolutely.
All that cool stuff.
If you want to visit the site to see any of the articles we talked about today on the show, or just to see some of the past shows or anything else we have up there, go to thegeekgeneration.com. There is a button on the side, which you can use to subscribe in iTunes. We still only have about 4 show ratings. Takes 30 seconds to write a review. I would love if people did that. There's also a donation button on the side that no one will ever use. If you have any questions, comments, insults, or topics you'd like us to discuss on a future show, I can't talk today.
Sorry.
Send those
daylight
to...
savings time.
I know, man. Absolutely. I'm blaming everything on daylight savings time today.
That's what we need to call the show today. Daylight savings time is a bitch.
Springing all over the place. If you have questions, comments, insults, or topics for us to discuss, please send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to the show, you can send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. If you want to follow either of us on Twitter, I'm at The Night Angel on Twitter, and that's like the medieval knight. Brian is at Xander Harris, which is X-A-N-D-E-R Harris. You said Z during your show, I believe.
Did?
I'm pretty sure you did.
I don't know what I was doing. No.
But now people will know for sure. Brian's at Xander Harris on Twitter. As always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can also be found on our site. So, springing all over the place, Brian.
Yeah, pretty much.
As usual, we're wrapping up episode 31, and we will talk to you all very soon. Later.